This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
What's up, Sims?
What's going on,
hey,
man?
Hey, I mean, you and I on Quick Friday
turnaround.
Nights.
Quick
Friday
turnaround,
Friday nights
baby.
Down there at the beach, Red Bank Catholic.
We got no Saturday game today, which is unfortunate. So, we decided to double up with the radio show. We cut Mike. It is now the Matt Sims High School Radio Hour.
I was thinking more of like Sims and Jimmy, something. I'll give you the headline, man. I know. Listen,
it's your first show. You can't just come in here and just think that. No.
I mean, listen, when you go to Christmas Eve, the Super Bowl MVP is on the mantle. So I got to give it to
That's
you.
That's right.
There's no
right.
question yeah. About that. But we spent our Friday night last night down at the beach, Red Bank Catholic. Red Bank Catholic was rolling along at 5-0, Matt.
5-0. A lot of good wins.
Only lost a single game last year to Donovan Catholic. They avenged that loss last week, and Seton Hall Prep really took the wind out of their sail. We were trying to find out the last time that Red Bank Catholic was shut out. We went back 25 years, couldn't find it. The Pirates, Coach Fitzgerald's bunch, shut them out last night on the MSG Game of the Week.
Yeah, and I think really the biggest thing to take away from that game was the fact that just Seton Hall has been a little bit more battle-tested, has been in a few of those gritty matchups here early in the season during the month of September, more so than Red Bank Catholic. I still think that Red Bank Catholic in that Group 3 division still has enough horses to win the championship. You know, the biggest thing will be kind of the development of Frankie Williams, the young sophomore quarterback who made a lot of good plays yesterday, but just a little too run heavy.
He needs a couple sessions at the Sims Complete.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, and always appreciate those free pubs like that.
Yeah, But, I mean, listen.
He does throw it well. You know, their offense just got away with, I think, early in the season of just kind of pushing around their opponents. And they finally, you know, met an opponent that could push back
a
little bit better.
The one thing we're seeing right now, okay, is September is over, okay? The calendar has gone to October, okay? And in high school football, okay, I know September is really important, but let's face it. You butter your bread in October/November. And when you get to November, September is like a distant memory. It's nice. It's meaningful.
It is.
But in the end, can't rely on some bubble screen that we've been running beautifully for touchdowns in September when you get to November.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that there's been seasons in the past where after the month of September has come and gone, we've said, okay, this team or this team for the championship, that team and that team, easy run, no one else is going to be in their way. I have no idea what to think about this season. There are so many unknown factors, and especially in the Catholic High School Football League, both in New Jersey and in New York, who the top dogs are. You know, because even the Bosco St. Peter's matchup last night, I don't know what to think of St. Peter's. I really don't. I mean, the fact that they can give up 55 points, you know, in their loss to St. Joe's Prep
situation.
Philly.
In a mercy situation.
And then
St. Joe's Philly could have put 70 on them.
They totally could have.
Again, it was September 2nd.
It was. And I also, too, I just don't understand how you can play that poorly and people in the state automatically just say, oh, yeah, you're the number one team in the state.
Well, listen. So it brings us to St. Peter's and Don Bosco. There was a doubleheader last night at MetLife Stadium. It was the Zone 6 Football Classic. Look, not going to go on and on about St. Joe's Montvale. They got back on the horse last night. We'll give them that. After a discouraging loss to St. Peter's a week ago, in which they led by 17 points in the fourth quarter. Very good win for St. Peter's. Okay, St. Joe's last night scores in all three phases. Joe Gaston, the QB sophomore, throws three touchdown passes.
Which is like the biggest sign, I think, for their football team that Joe Gaston finally got involved in the pass game. A lot of good passes down the field.
Yasin Willis has a pick six, so they score on defense. And then, you know, all rise for Johnny Forster, the home run hitter, right?
Right.
Another touchdown on a kickoff return. So St. Joe's business-like win. But really, the marquee game of the night was Don Bosco and St. Peter's, the Zone 6 Football Classic, 8 p.m. at MetLife. Look, it opens up with Minicucci running for a touchdown. That's what Nikki does. We'll pick it up in our recap. It's 21-14 Bosco. It was 21-7 at the half.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Harvey, give us a little music here.
Oh, my God.
Here we go,
baby.
He did it. 21-14 Don Bosco, right? The classic Don Bosco screen pass to the most interesting player I've seen this year. Sophomore Nolan James of Don Bosco. 18 yards. It's 28-14, Sims. You saw it on your phone. Looks like they're in control.
That's right.
But here comes the Marauders. Champ Long to Hassan Moore with 6 minutes left. It's 28-20 on a 58-yard touchdown. The two-pointer was no good. So now, hey, listen, it's late. 6 minutes. You're down eight. You got to go onside kick. Guess what happened, Sims? St. Peter's recovers the onside kick.
Jesus.
Are you kidding me? And just three plays later, Isaiah Giles from 19 yards out. Oh, doctor, it's 28-26 with 5 minutes left. So, of course, they got to go for two. And the tie, they throw a little swing pass. No shot on the swing pass.
No.
Bosco's defense swarms it. The onside kick comes again. Bosco recovers. And then Don Bosco, this is what they are now. It's what they were last week at Bergen Catholic. It's what they were last night at MetLife. Ground and pound. We're going behind the franchise. That's the five guys up front for Don Bosco. They drive the ball half a field, stick it in the end zone. Good night. Very good win for the Ironmen.
Yeah, and then Nick Severin comes up with the game-sealing interception on the last drive by St. Peter's Prep. But yeah, right now,
cut the music, Harvey. I'm done. I'm done listening to this guy. It's
26.
Unbelievable.
Wonderful.
I like the reincarnation, though, of Mike Quick.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Was
listen,
good.
I have an agenda here. You know, listen, I could be in big trouble. I'll have a note in my locker.
No,
like,
it's very
when
good.
You go to the Sims Country Club and you do something wrong on the golf course, you get a little note in your locker.
If I would have turned to the side here and just not looked, I would have thought that he was here in the flesh with us. But yeah, very good. Very good, Jimmy.
So,
you're the man.
But, very interesting season now, you know, for Don Bosco. You know, when you look at them. I mean, listen.
A very Jacqueline Hyde vibe at times with just how dominant they've been. Or I shouldn't say dominant, but how impressive they've been in their wins. And honestly, just kind of how disappointing their two losses have been. And both of their losses coming to tough opponents. And
Very tough. I mean, you're going to lose to Edgewater, Florida, one of the best backs in America. Kids going to Texas, right?
I mean, anytime that you're traveling, you know, across the country or, you know, down to Florida or whatever, like, you know, those games to me are always 50-50s just because of the situation. You have high school kids, you're traveling, it's a lot,
and listen,
going on. But
so it's great news for the Bosco Nation that they, in 2 weeks in a row, you know, the Jersey papers had Bergen Catholic number one, rightfully so, last week.
Yeah,
Bosco
of course.
Beats them.
Yeah.
So once Bergen went down, they made St. Peter's number one. So now this week, Bosco beats another number one team.
Yeah.
Okay? It's great news, though, for the Iona Prep Nation.
It totally
Because they're feeling like they're on top of the world. Before we get to the Gales, let's get to the fourth-year skipper of the Ironmen of Don Bosco Prep, a guy that is no stranger to big games and big victories. Coach Dan Sabella joins us here on the Mike Quick Football Hour. Coach Sabella, Jimmy and Matt, congrats, buddy.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks a lot. How you guys doing?
Coach, good to hear from you. And now, let me get this straight, too. Did you come on the show today just because you knew Mike Quick was not here? I'll take that as a yes.
The timing on this, you couldn't plan it better.
I love it, Coach.
Typical Bosco graduate troublemaker.
And well, that's what Mike gets for saying that we're not a national power anymore. My boy, Coach Sabella over there is getting it done. That's all we care about. All right. Yeah.
Coach Sabella.
But congrats on the win, Coach.
It's amazing.
Thanks, fellas.
It's amazing. You know, the last time Matt Sims sat here was before the Bergen game. You guys had come off a disappointing loss to Iona Prep. You went back and forth. You had great compliments for Johnny Shepherd of Iona Prep. You said he was the best player on the field. But since that game, you have really flipped the script on your season here with two signature Don Bosco wins. Listen, go back a week ago on the corner of Forest and Oradell Ave. You not only beat Bergen Catholic, you put a vintage Don Bosco beating on them, 31-7, led by that old line. And then last night, you back it up. That's two pretty good weeks for your boys.
They have been. And, you know, no doubt that Iona game was a rough one. But I'm proud our guys have bounced back. They went back to work. They prepared hard. We really focused on a lot of the details and a lot of the things that were hurting us, you know. And, it's been a good 2 weeks, man. It's been a good back-to-back games, and you know, now we go into the bye week, which is nice. So hopefully we learn from some of our early season hiccups there, and we got it going for the second half of the year in the playoff stretch.
Yeah, definitely. And just like Jimmy said earlier, you know, nobody really cares about September. It's all about just setting it up for later in the year. You know, what are you most proudest of with these last two games, you know, from your team? Who has been someone that is a little bit of a rising star within your ranks that maybe, you know, the general public doesn't know about yet?
Well, you know, listen, everybody's talking about the offensive line, obviously, and deservingly right. So. They've been outstanding. But as far as, like, you know, Ronnie Heath went down in that Iona prep game, and Ronnie's, as you know, Matt, has been a, you know, one of our best players here for the last 3 years. So that was obviously real concerning. But we've had two young backs, Nolan James and Logan Bush, have done a tremendous job stepping up, both fulfilling their own kind of unique roles within the offense, and they've been taking care of the football, which has been huge. They've been you know, fun.
Oh, I think we just lost Coach.
That's it?
Hey, but listen. I do agree with them, too, with Logan Bush and Nolan James Jr., both of that 1-2 punch in the backfield slash in their screen game, pass game, has been extremely efficient. Hopefully we can get Coach back. I'm not sure. I guess it looks like we lost him, but
Bush, smooth as silk. But James, I said this to you last week, and people always look at me like, what are you talking about when I say James is a sophomore? Looks like a professional high school running back. And I'm not saying an NFL player. I'm saying as a 10th grader, he looks like he knows exactly what he is doing out there on the football field. Poised, just, you know, great vision, balance, and he is absolutely terrific. And now, you know, listen, Don Bosco has victories over St. Joe's at home, which was a good win because they trailed 28-24 in the second half of that game.
Very good win.
Beating Bergen. Beating St. Peter's. Those are the three best wins on the board. And listen, the one thing about this offensive line, Matt, you know, and Dan Sabella spoke about it. Everybody's been talking about it.
Right.
We're all going to know that the identity of the line is Chase Bisontas, the Texas A&M bounder. He'll go play for Jimbo Fisher. Okay. But it's about this unit. Chris Marino just committed to Monmouth. Fantastic, okay?
Really good football player.
Okay? But here's the thing about these guys. This is their number of high school starts, okay? Last night was the 36th career start for Chris Bisontas. It was the 36th career start for Chris Marino, okay? It was the 21st career high school start for Aiden Toomey. Amari Francis last night made his 13th start at right guard. And Kevin Garcia made his 12th start at right tackle. You know the way high school football goes. So much turnover year to year on the offensive line. Coaches are always saying, how many guys am I bringing back? Who's the leader? Who's the veteran? All five of these guys were starters last year.
Yeah.
I mean, and three of them have been out there now for three straight years.
Yeah. And we know
heading
how,
to four.
We know how dominant that left side of the line is and how talented it is, including with, you know, Aiden Toomey, who gets to, you know, obviously go both ways with the fact that he's a center. But just extremely talented. The size, you know, is obviously an issue for a lot of teams. They're a big, strong, physical team, and they literally pushed around Bergen Catholic. I haven't watched the film yet of St. Peter's prep game yet, but there were a few plays where you could see that they were winning at the line of scrimmage on multiple times. And, you know, I think really one of the bigger things, too, that Bosco is getting here is that Jaden Brown, their middle linebacker, is healthy. And that combination with Jaden Brown, Lamont Lester at the outside linebacker
Double L
position.
Express.
And then with, you know, really just the ability, too, of hopefully Jordan Thomas finally getting involved a little bit more with Jovan George there in the middle of the teeth of that defense. You know, they're going to be an issue, you know, led by Nick Severin in the back end at safety.
I forgot to say at the top of the show, a little business, the high school football show on 98.7 is presented by Spectrum Mobile. Spectrum Mobile has the most reliable service coast to coast. Plus, 5G is included at no extra cost. Switch and save today. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. Before we move on, okay, from the heavyweight division, New Jersey football, just a little final state of the union, okay? Don Bosco now, they hold the cards. We mentioned, beat Joe's, beat Bergen, beat St. Peter's, okay? St. Peter's, though, has definitely planted the seed. The big comeback against St. Joe's, okay? Yeah. Last night, you know, really, you know, trading punches with their playmakers with Don Bosco right to the end. So they have the playmakers, we know, to be a factor in this thing.
St. Peter's issue is very simple. It's just like St. Joe's. Can you stop anybody?
And
can
that's
you,
just it.
Can you make big stops?
Because St. Joe's has all kinds of offense. Yeah. They have all kinds of home run hitters. Their defense is young and gives up points. You know, who... Here's the question going forward. Who is going to win at the point of attack against Don Bosco and be able to solve Nick Minicucci and everything he presents during a high school football game? That's the question.
That is absolutely the question, and we're actually going to head to break now.
Look at you.
Yeah, look at
See,
me.
Mike's away. You're even throwing it to break.
I'm stepping it up. We're going to go to break. We'll
like
be
Henry
back
Hill,
here in a
man.
Minute.
You're all grown up. All grown up.
Thanks, Clarence.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
You gotta love it. The music gets you going, Sims.
It definitely does.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Reminds me of NFL films, you know.
ESPN, the Mike Quick High School Football Hour. Jimmy and Matt, you know, we went down to the beach last night. Red Bank Catholic at Seton Hall Prep. Very good victory over Seton Hall Prep. On the MSG Game of the Week, the return of the Game of the Week. It's been a lot of fun, man. You know, Mike Quick launched this high school division on MSG back in the late 90s. And by the early 2000s, we really cranked it up. We were doing the Game of the Week. And, you know, there are so many players, you being one of them. Matt Sims, of course, 33-3 in his 3 years as a starter. Don Bosco Prep wins the state championship in 2006. Basically ran up the score on every team in that 06 season after losing the final in 04 and 05. We won't get into that. I looked at the scores. Wow, you never called off the Dogs. But the one thing about it is just the great players that come through the landscape.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, the Brian Tolles, the Immortals, the Brian Cushings, the Will Hills, you know, Jabril Peppers. You know, but there was one guy that was really part of the fabric of the MSG High School Weekly. And we played a feature last night on the Game of the Week at the half, and everybody loved it. We got such great reaction. A feature that we did in 2005. I made my way down to Middletown, New Jersey, and I spent the day covering one of the all-time great players, not only New Jersey, not only the Tri-State. I don't know that you could have had a better high school career in America for high school football than No'Shawn Moreno had. Number 24 for the Eagles of Middletown South. He would be eliminated as a freshman and never lost another game after that. Sophomore, junior, senior, 36 straight wins, three-time champ. The numbers, Matt, you were mesmerized. The guy ran for over 6,000 yards.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous just how dominant he was in high school. And honestly, in college, too. And how good he was, especially in a day and age, too, where the SEC was old school. It was, you know, hard-nosed, just downhill running football. And he did everything and more and accomplished at Georgia.
I mean, when he ran for over 1,000 yards his second year at Georgia, he became only the second Bulldog to ever go back-to-back over 1,000 yards. The only other guy, Herschel Walker.
Yeah, that's not a bad list to be on right there.
It was a wonderful walk down memory lane. And lo and behold, Matt Sims.
Yes, sir.
Guess who joins us on the ESPN High School Report? Number 24 from your Middletown South program, No'Shawn Moreno, Jimmy and Matt, New York. How are you, partner?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Oh, man. We're doing incredible, Sean. And it was great. Listen, it was great to see you in video form last night. And I'm sure, you know, when you think about your days running the football for Coach Antonucci and the Eagles of Middletown South, it has to be categorized as some of the greatest times of your life.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure, man. I mean, you guys mentioned it. You know, my first year, my freshman year, you know, we made it pretty far. You know, I was pretty much trying to figure out the whole football thing. You know, I never played any organized football. I said a little bit in Pop Warner, but I was too heavy, so I couldn't play too much.
Join the club.
right? But, yeah, it was definitely some of the most special times of our lives. I mean, going on the streak that we did and just the camaraderie and the bond that those teams had, it was just priceless, honestly. And just having that such success that we've had And you know, it's really a tribute to the coaches, man, honestly, just keeping us all in line, keeping us all straight throughout the whole years and just keeping the train kind of moving, you know, Steve Antonucci and the crew. So it was definitely special times.
And no, Sean, this is Matthew Sims here. Thank you again for joining the show. When you were in high school, what was the one matchup that you guys really wanted, you know, when you were in your junior and senior, your prime of Middletown South's dominance, what was the matchup that you guys were looking to play? And, you know, did you think that you were going to get that win if you got that setup happen?
Man, that's crazy that you say that. Is we didn't really worry or care who was in front of us, honestly. I can't ever picture or think about us going to a game like, hey, we need this one. This is the one we need. If we get this one, then we're good. It was never like that. It was like, hey, put someone in front of us, and we're going to roll over them. You know?
That's awesome.
That was the confidence. That was the confidence of our team. That was the bond that we had, just that, you know, whoever lined up in front of us, we knew that we were going to get the job done that week and that game. So we knew games were going to be tough. You know, Red Bank was always tough. The Long Branches were pretty tough. We knew the schools, like, you know, Wall Township. We knew Wall. You know, we were going to meet Wall at some point.
Yeah.
And I think they were a really well coached team, and they were always good. They were the ones that knocked us out.
Yeah, and by the way, not only knocked you out, Sean, it was 24-0. And if you go back into the articles, that was a day that when that game ended your freshman year, you didn't even know if you wanted to play football anymore until you had a conversation with Coach Antonucci.
Very true, very true, man. It was such a heartbreaker. You know, I'm young at the time, and I remember after that game, you know, getting back to the school and just taking off my pads and like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. I mean, it just felt like, you know, I let everyone down. Everyone felt bad, you know. Those are the things you kind of go through as a young man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but listen. No, Sean, just Sims is a Bosco guy. He was baiting you with that question.
I totally was, because hoping you would say, like, Bergen or Bosco.
We all know back in the day, the Middletown South Nation, maybe not you guys as players, but when you were in the midst of that win streak, you know, at that time, you know, Brian Cushing and Bergen Catholic were the 2004 champs. You were also the champs. Will Hill and St. Peter's were the 2005 champs. You were also the champs. And Middletown South always fell in the polls right below those guys. And then Sims and the boys win in 06. So this Middletown South Nation was always like, hey, we should be ahead of them. Our win streak is longer. And listen, that was before sort of everybody played everybody, before you could go out of state and play games. You know, it was a little before your time, I mean, when it comes to that. But I know you took so much pride in winning those titles.
And I say that, too, because I'm jealous, because I wanted to see you, Noshon, against these other players and dominate them the way that I know you. Because anybody that watches your highlights, we got a viewing of it last night at halftime. Just, you know, how impressive some of your performance was. You know, can you share with our listeners what was your favorite performance, you know, statistically or, you know, just memory that you had in high school?
Yeah. Going back to just real quick to the, you know, the conversation about playing the prep schools, man, we always felt that way, too. When we see them in the polls, we're like, man, if we could just play them, I feel like we can beat those fellas, you know what I mean? So, you guys definitely right about the timing was definitely off, and it would have been awesome to see what teams would have came out victorious back then if we were to play them, so that would have been awesome. But going back to the question about most enjoyable moment, you know, it's so crazy, you know, 36-0 each year, especially the first one was special, you know, coming back after the year, losing that first year, that sophomore year, coming back and winning that one. I mean, it's always going to be special. And then, then going on from there, second one and third one, I mean, got special and special each time because, you know, you're about to leave high school. But the game I can remember the most, you know, I can really remember that Long Branch. Was it Long Branch versus Long Branch game? I think I had like 400 and something yards.
Oh, my God. That's all. And by the way,
don't act like you don't remember either, Sean. You remember.
It was embarrassing to those guys at the time, but let me tell you, they take a lot of pride in that now. Those guys, when those guys from Long Branch talk about, hey, man.
Was it Long Branch?
Whoever it was, listen, you put up a lot of yards on a lot of cats out there down at the shore, and they all love it right now. Because, you know, Sean, you left Middletown South. You went to Georgia. You know, it was an amazing run there. You know, two times first team, all SEC, SEC Freshman of the Year. You then became the 12th pick in the 2009 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos. You spent 6 years in the league. You ran for over 3,000 yards, almost 4,000, 27 touchdowns. And lo and behold, a kid from New Jersey, when Super Bowl 48 winds up at MetLife Stadium in February of 2014, a kid born and raised in the Garden State is on the Denver Broncos, and the Super Bowl's in New Jersey? What?
Hey, it was like a crystal ball moment. You know, it was like one of those where it was like, hey, this is like all full circle. It's coming back around. Man, it would have been so awesome to win that one there in New York. But hey, everything happens for a reason. But I tell you what, going back home and being able to play in the Super Bowl, it was definitely so special to have family and friends there. And we would have finished that that way with putting the cap on it with the Super Bowl. It would have been ridiculously special. But it was still a great moment just to be back and to be in the Super Bowl. Not many people get to even play in the Super Bowl. So it was all special. It was all special to me.
And what would you say to our young listeners and even, you know, some parents out there, too, with their kids going through the recruiting process and all that? Just, you know, what was something that you really, you know, hung your hat on as far as just like your focus and approach to you as a player? And then obviously just, you know, dealing with, you know, being high profile in that situation as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, nowadays, I feel like it is so different, especially when you get to the college level, or with, you know, when it comes to NIL and the things that are happening in the college level. I'm not even sure what happens now at the high school level. It's probably ridiculous, no? You
right.
know, with people coming after them and schools coming after them with cash and all things like that. But, you know, for me, I really wanted to stay focused. And my main focus was, you know, of course, school. Making sure my schoolwork was right, because if I couldn't get my grades right, I couldn't play. So number one was always school. And then number two, family and friends, man, and just keeping the good people close to you. And when it comes to picking a school, you know, for me, it was the reason I picked Georgia is because I just felt most comfortable with the people there. You know, I figured I told myself if I didn't play football anymore, could I still get a great education? I could still have fun and be surrounded by great people. And that's why I picked Georgia. So,
yeah,
you know, definitely just do your homework, you know what I mean, when it comes to which school. But I know the landscape of football, especially in the high school level, and then definitely going to the college with the NIL is just so different now, you know. So
yeah, it's a completely different scene. And we're talking to No Sean Marino, the great one from Middletown South High School, of course, went on to an amazing career at Georgia in both the NFL. And he talk about landscape. He's now one of the great real estate magnates out there in Denver, Colorado. Sims is looking for a little Aspen or Vale property, Sean. So when the show is over, you know, Sims, they got deep pockets over there. Hopefully you can help him with that.
Get out of here.
We know you're doing great out there in the real estate world. You're a father. You're a husband. I mean, life has moved on for you, and you're still getting it done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I really appreciate it. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys, man. Definitely going down memory lane is awesome. We had some great players, some great people. I can go down the list. I can name the whole team.
Hey, talk about, though, your coach. No, Sean, because, you know, Sims is one of these guys. You know the connection of a high school player to his coach. Steve Antonucci, who showed up at Super Bowl Media Day and asked you a question about wearing your grandmother's slippers. I remember that. But Steve Antonucci is a guy who was a shaper and a molder of young men, got them going in the right direction, made a big impact on your life, and you guys are still close.
Oh, of course. You know, Coach Antonucci, I mean, like I said, man, he's been like a father figure to me throughout my whole high school career and further. Like I said, you know, kind of giving me those talks that I needed. And like you said, just a man of faith, a man that could mold young men. And if it wasn't for football, he can just mold you into being a great young man. So a lot of the credit has to go to Steve Antonucci just being there and just being the man that he is, not even the coach, just the man that he is, man. So I would always have love for Coach and his family and the other coaches as well. You know what I mean? Al Bigos did a great job, and I stay close with all those guys. So, but, Nooch definitely has a special spot in my heart.
Amazing. No, Sean, this has been fantastic. We appreciate it, man.
It's been awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys, man.
Noshawn Moreno, the great one, Middletown South High School. What a story. A hungry and humble kid, a kid that was grateful for everything that football gave him. Who could forget the image on an NFL sideline in 2013 with a tear coming down his face? He was asked afterwards, why were you crying? He said, man, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful for everything that God has given me and the game of football. Noshawn Moreno, number 24. We'll step aside right here on the High School Football Show 98.7. We're going to the New York Catholic League. All eyes now on Iona Prep and St. Anthony's. The Gales. Sims, are they the number one team in the tri-state? We'll talk about it straight ahead.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All American Ford Auto Group, the number one Ford Auto Group in the Northeast, with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit allamericanford.net. And, of course, now the Jets High School Player of the Week, fueled by Gatorade, brought to you by Gatorade and our commitment to fuel tomorrow. Each week during the high school football season, the New York Jets and Gatorade will honor a Player of the Week. The player will receive a $1,000 donation from the Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football team. This week's Gatorade Player of the Week is Jack Malore, junior wide receiver from Smithtown West High School in Smithtown, New York. The Bulls posted a 2014 upset over number four rival Half Hollow Hills East. Malore finished with six tackles, including a big quarterback sack for a loss of 13 yards. He batted down six passes? Wow. Malore came up with a defensive stop with 7.8 seconds left remaining to seal the game. Congratulations, our New York Jets Player of the Week, Action Jack. Good stuff there, Sims.
You missed the most important stat line there, Coach.
Did I?
10 receptions for 226.
I'm trying to keep you involved.
All right, thank you.
10 receptions for 226 receiving yards.
Now Jack, he's Action Jack.
Nice job, Jack, getting that victory over Hills.
Yeah, congrats, Jack Malore. It's really, the high school. Really good performance.
It's the high school football show, so we've done a little New Jersey, and we, you know, we sort of threw it out there that over the last couple weeks, especially with the Battle of the Bridge and the Rumble and the Raritan and all these crossover games between New York and New Jersey.
Right.
Matt, you and I have spoken about this a few times over the course of the last couple weeks. The profile of New York State high school football has never been higher.
It absolutely hasn't, and it's great, and I really enjoy the matchups. I think there's so many good football players across that Hudson River, and, you know, we've seen it here, you know, live and in color, and the proof that these football teams are good matchups, because you can actually make a claim, like we discussed, that Iona Prep, with the big game today versus St. Anthony's, is the best team in the tri-state area.
Well, listen, you can not only make the claim, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, if you beat the man that beats the man, you're the man, right? I mean, Iona Prep has beaten Don Bosco. Don Bosco beat, look, the consensus number one.
It's the way that Don Bosco beat Bergen Catholic,
too. The consensus number one going into last week was Bergen Catholic. They were undefeated the year before. They were ranked top 10 in the country. They had a 17-game win streak, okay? Well, Don Bosco ended that. They went into Oradell and beat them soundly, 31-7.
Yeah.
So if you're Iona Prep and you beat Don Bosco, who beat Bergen Catholic, if you're Iona Prep, who beat Don Bosco, who beat St. Peter's Prep, okay, how do you not say you're the number one team? But listen, don't get too comfortable if you're Coach Spags and the Gales.
No.
Because coming into their place today are the Friars of St. Anthony's, okay? And when you look at the State of the Union on this Catholic League, you and I kind of, I think we agree, it's a three-horse race. All due respect, okay, to C.J. O'Neill and Cardinal Hayes. Cardinal Hayes, okay, won the championship in 2019, 2016. Don't know if they're there yet this year. But it's kind of a three-horse race. Stepanak, okay? Iona Prep.
Yep.
And?
And our boys, the Gales.
I mean, they are the defending champs.
Yeah,
you
know.
And when
Johnny Shepard's really done everything that he needs to do so far early in this season to not really think otherwise at the moment, and they really are. It's an interesting matchup this season because definitely St. Anthony's, for sure, is a much more improved offensive juggernaut than it was a year ago. It was really good a year ago. It's even better this year, you know, with Ian Strong and K.J. Duff. K.J. Duff is healthy. I believe he is playing today. He was battling an injury in that last game versus Monsignor Farrell.
Yeah.
Dante Torres has been just dynamic. Hey, listen, he really just does everything. The biggest question is, can you create a little pressure on a prep? You know, can you win at the line of scrimmage? Can you actually affect Dante Torres a few times? And I'm not sure if Morant is running for St. Anthony's either, but he is a very important little piece to their pass game and staying consistent on the ground that kind of keeps this team balanced.
It's the best of times for this league right now. Because when you look at Iona Prep, you know, they'll welcome in St. Anthony's today, 4 p.m. at Iona in the rain. And then next Saturday, I mean, the Westchester will come to a screeching halt because it's going to be Iona Prep at Stepanak. That we will have that game live on MSG Network as our game of the week. You know, so when you just look at this State of the Union for Iona Prep, I mean, my gosh, St. Anthony's this week, okay? Stepanak next week. They're the defending champs. We mentioned Cardinal Hayes won the last title before that. Stepanak won in 2018. That's why the health of this league is better than it's ever been, because in the last three championships, it's three different teams that have won it, okay? And this is a far cry from what went on. Okay, you go back to, you know, Monsignor Farrell winning it in 1999 and 2000. Okay, from the day Farrell won that championship in 2000, everything pointed to St. Anthony's and South Huntington. They took over the league, okay? There's a reason why Rich Reichert started playing St. Joe's and Don Bosco in New Jersey. I hate to say it, and I'm not, he never said this, but they had to be bored with their success, Matt. At one point, they won 10 of 11 AAA championships. 10 of 11. That is ridiculous for any league. That doesn't add credibility to your league when you have that kind of dominance.
Yeah, and it's just really just obviously a credit to Coach Reichert and how impressive he is as a man, as a leader, you know, of that school. And that's where I think the biggest jump is you've seen in this league across the Hudson for everyone, right? Is that the level of coaching is now evenly matched across the board. You know, we saw it in New Jersey, a lot of great coaches. You know, we saw the Campanelli family, you know, now with, you know, Vito, Sabella, you know, Coach Russo back at Paramus Catholic, you know, all these coaches that are spread around our area of the New Jersey area. You're seeing this now in New York that same way. A lot of good coaches that know what they're doing, run good programs, high character football players. And that's really the most important thing.
It's
about guys like Knowshon Moreno, right?
Yeah.
And just high character football players that you're building your program on. It's really good times for New York Catholic High School Football League. And I want to keep seeing more of that integration with New Jersey and New York going forward.
When Dan Sabella comes off the game against Iona Prep, says, hey, Johnny Shepard was the best player on the field, case closed. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's going to see a lot of good football players this year.
Right. That's an amazing compliment. But the one thing about St. Anthony's, Matt, I just mentioned all this dominance. Okay?
Yeah.
Last time they won it was 2013.
Yeah.
Okay. And the only team to repeat since all these repeats by St. Anthony's is Stepanak.
Yeah.
Stepanak wins it in 14 and 15. Hayes squeezes in there in 16. And then Stepanak goes 17 and 18. So that's sort of the agenda now for Iona Prep.
Yeah.
Can you enter that ring of honor of teams that have repeated?
Right.
They have the horses to do it.
Yeah, they have the horses to do it, but it's also going to be extremely difficult in that league because there's just a huge target on their back. There's been that way ever since they won the championship last year. And anytime that you have that huge target on your back, it's a little easier, I think, for the opponent to get, you know, jacked up for that game to take down, you know, Goliath in that situation.
A lot of fun.
It's going to be a really cool matchup. And just want to do like a quick rip around of some of the scores around the area. Westwood Ramsey yesterday was 38-0. Westwood still undefeated, led by quarterback Robbie Carson. He's having a great football season. We talked about Bosco St. Peter's 35-26 in the final there. Logan Bush and Nolan James doing their thing. And then St. Joe's down on the Catholic, the final score of that game was 41-13 in St. Joe's favor.
Yeah, how about Union City beating Irvington 19-15 on the roof? They ran the ball for 261 yards. Don't let up a touchdown.
Has to be with their defense. Biggest win in a long time.
I mean, listen. Has to be. Congratulations to Wilbur Valdez. I mean, that's a beautiful one. The only way that Irvington scored in that game was the Torrey brothers' 78-yard kickoff return and a scoop and score. That's a signature win.
Definitely.
Also, how about Hasbrook Heights? Only in this NJIC Meadowlands division can you win. can you win a conference championship in September? Apparently, they're league champs. They are league champs.
How is this possible? And then Wayne Valley beats West Milford 34-0. Coach Roger Kotlers gets his 100th win of, of his career.
They go
to 6-0. And then Bergen Catholic DePaul at Bergen Catholic wins 35-7.
In the Campanelli Bowl.
The Campanelli Bowl.
Vito versus Little Brother. This is good stuff, Sims. We're going to take a quick break. We continue straight ahead with the High School Football Show right here on 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand.
The week are built by the Lantech Group, the leader in the design, construction, and maintenance of athletic fields and facilities throughout the East Coast, specializing in synthetic turf, natural grass, concrete, fencing, and more. Visit them at thelantechgroup.com. The High School Football Show on 98.7 is presented by Sloman's. Low price on home heating oil and 24-hour service. Call 1-866-OIL-DEAL right now to see how much you can save this winter on heating oil with Sloman's. That's 1-866-OIL-DEAL. Jimmy and Matt, 3 minutes left in the show. We go to the Kingdom of the Netherlands for this next caller. We are literally going to the Kingdom of the Netherlands, known as the country of Aruba, the Grand Poobah. Are you there, Sir Quick? What a disaster.
Not a good sound.
That whole buildup. And you told me to dump him anyway. Incredible. But he was going to come on for his pick segment. Of course, you know, never say die on the pick segment.
never say die.
Listen, he was going to pick this game. Of course, I own a prep in St. Anthony's, Matt. When you look at this game today, we know St. Anthony's has a propensity for giving up a lot of points. And now he's here. From the Kingdom of the Netherlands, Mike, Jimmy,
Kamala,
and Matt.
What are you doing? We have that great song breaking us back in. You got to lay out a little bit. Let it develop. This is why guys like Tim Lavelle, Tim Delane, and Huey Lavelle are texting me. It's all falling apart up there.
Of course it is.
Oh, my God.
The wheels are off.
They've been off for a long time.
During the show, what a disaster.
Harvey is getting you a Learjet to get you back here. Hey, Harvey! Hey, we got only 90 seconds here, Mike. You better let these picks rip right now. St. Anthony's right, on the road, Iona Prep. What do you got?
35-34 last year regular season, Iona Prep wins. Semifinals, Iona Prep, 35-28 overtime. Today, watch out. If you're the Gales, don't think about next week. Right now, they're the number one team in the tri-state. But you know what? There's no tri-state poll anymore because we don't do it. So just go out and play. But this is not going to be easy. Today, the game will be won. We talk about all the runway models of this one. Shepard, Torres, Strong. St. Anthony's banged up a little bit. Watch out for Jaden Jenkins today to have a big game at the wideout spot. But the guy who's going to steal the show, the big O, Colin O'Garo. I like the Gales to get their
30 seconds, buddy,
against the Friars. Fun game. Immaculata, Pope John. I like Immaculata. We love Mason Geist, the young freshman quarterback. I'm going with Immaculata. High scoring, fun game.
20 seconds.
Is that it? We lost you, Mike?
That's it. I think we lost
him. No, I'm here.
Listen, we're going to have to
see.
You got business to do. You got to get under one of those grass huts with a big Cuban cigar. We'll see you back stateside. Mike Quick, everybody from Aruba. Hey, this was a lot of fun, man. I appreciate it. What a time here on ESPN Radio. Iona Prep and St. Anthony's. It's all on the line for Sims' number one tri-state team. Thank you, baby.
Toodles.